So many things that I would do if I had my way with you. Written by Naya, read by Silvercat 1620. Summary. Peter's second encounter with the pig in a trial is somehow both better and worse than he expected it would be. Notes for The Thing 1982. If I put my hands around your wrists, would you fight them? If I put my fingers in your mouth, would you bite them? So many things that I would do if I had my way with you. From Hate Fuck by the Bravery. Chapter 1. During Peter's second trial, he watches as another survivor, Jake, sabotages the hook with the items in a rusted toolbox. The knowledge that with the proper tools it's possible to break the sacrificial platform down, subsequently freeing the hook so that one might theoretically bludgeon a certain killer wearing a pig mask with it, distracts him for long enough that he almost gets snuck up on by a killer in black and white mask. He evades them, though, and even finishes the generator on his own. Yet he still loses in the end, too lost within the twisting halls of what is surely the world's most unnecessarily grandiose police department to find the exit before time runs out, and he ends up being run through by sharp tendrils which explode up from the ground, pain shooting through his body in one sharp pulse before he blacks out or dies or awakens with a start at the campfire. It's all part of the learning curve, Meg tells him later. She would know. She's one of the unlucky four who have been here since the beginning. If they had learning curves like this in the FBI, no one would ever make it to becoming a special agent. When Peter gets out, when, he internalizes very firmly, because the indecisiveness of an if will actually drive him crazy, he's going to be in better shape than he's been in since well before he hit the graying side of 40. Trial 3 and 4, he makes it out by the skin of his teeth. Trial 5, he finds a toolbox in a chest, but loses it when he's sacrificed to the entity by a giant, ominously humming woman called the Huntress, who throws axes with better aim than Peter has seen some people shoot guns with. He still hasn't run into Hoffman again, and the anticipation to get to him sometimes makes Peter feel as though he's frothing at the mouth at the start of his matches, when the killer's identity is still unknown. But other survivors have gone up against the pig, as they call him, as made sorely evident when Dwight, who Peter pulled off a hook 2 times in his first trial, comes out of the fog with a scream. Dying in a trial fucks everyone up, even if they still arrive at the campfire, seemingly post-mortem. But there's something particularly wild in his eyes as his trembling fingers run over his own jaw, like he can't quite believe that it's there. Reverse bear trap, Peter thinks with a heavy swallow. Jane, who had met her end in that first match, had been able to articulate just enough about the device placed over her head that Peter had been able to name what had killed her. A place where you could die by having your jaw ripped open, only to face the possibility of it happening again, endlessly, really was some type of hell. Later, in the lull of the night, Dwight whispers that the pig had asked him to pass something along. "I don't want to hear it," he bites out, instinctive, near snarling because Hoffman finds a way to get under his skin, even when he's a million miles away or wherever the fucking killer version of the campfire is. Peter spares one mad, incoherent thought about the man chatting up his fellow masked killers, tossing his head back and laughing with them, and something twists unpleasantly in his gut. Probably a stomach ulcer forming from his constant state of stress. Then he sees Dwight's expression, a little too reminiscent of a kicked puppy, and he reminds himself that Hoffman is exactly the type of asshole to follow up on if a message has been received. See as I see, save as I save, and then punish the person who delivered to him the bad news that whoever he was trying to get into the head of didn't want to give his games the time of day. Sorry. It's personal with him. Peter had been tracking him down, practically breathing down his neck when the fog had rolled in and taken them. The details of the transition from there to here are fuzzy. The last thing Peter remembers with any real clarity is following Hoffman inside of a building. but he knows he'd been so close to cornering him, so close that he could have reached out with his hand and... His fingers twitch with belated muscle memory. Had he listened to a tape? Beside him, Dwight nods in understanding, and the motion brings him back to the present. Peter is not the only survivor to have shown up with a pre-existing link to a killer, and pretty much all of them can be a bit... cagey, where the other is concerned. He looks towards the sky, wonders what Perez is up to if the Jigsaw murders have ended with Hoffman's disappearance into the fog, and she's able to safely come out of hiding, and tries to tramp down the anger that flares up so easily, even just thinking about the man as he asks, "So what did he say?" Dwight averts his eyes. Peter's blood pressure is already shooting up in the anticipation of immediate irritation. "He wants to know if you believe in fate, Agent Strom." Fate. Peter's going to tear that man's mask off and go for the fucking eyes. During trial sticks, he steps into a bear trap, and even as he pries it open with his hands, through the near disorienting pain, he thinks that this is it. This is his chance. He's going to spit in Mark Hoffman's face as soon as he's close enough. But it turns out that the regular bear traps aren't one of the pig's weapons. Fuck his entire life. Peter does finally get his toolbox this time, so at least there's that. And then comes Trial 7. When the fog rolls back, Peter quickly takes note of his surroundings. It's a new, grimy, darkly lit location, is his initial thought, crouching behind cover as his eyes seek out the nearest hook. There's a set of stairs cased up in yellow fencing not too far from where he is, and also a giant pig's head hanging from the ceiling in the room next to him. And maybe the pig's head alone wouldn't be enough for everything to click, but when Peter gets close enough to the nearest hook to sabotage it, he finds a mannequin woven into the structure, as well as a digital clock counting down. The grimy walls are not exactly the same, neither is the layout from the scant memories Peter has of running through here, but this is definitely supposed to be a parody of the fucking Gideon meatpacking plant. Again, he resists the urge to bring a hand up to his throat. Again, his anger simmers in a manner that becomes all too apparent in the way that he sabotages the hook, not nearly quiet enough to go unnoticed. Just because they're in a location that ties Peter and Mark together doesn't mean that he's the assigned killer for the match, but Peter still takes it all very, very personally. Whoever the killer is this time, he's going to get at least one good hit in. It's not exactly part of the trial, part of the game, for a survivor to be able to deal damage to a killer on their own, for the one being tested to be given something that they can use on their tester. But there is already someone who is able to do such a thing if the circumstances line up correctly. A girl who Peter stays far away from because he has no idea how to talk to teenagers in general, let alone shell-shocked ones who probably need far softer handling than he's capable of. When the timing is right, when the opportunity presents itself, she's able to strike back against whatever killer has her in their grasp. The hook falls to the floor with a clatter. Peter abandons his mostly used-up toolbox and reaches for it with both hands. Peter will make the timing right, will force the opportunity to present itself. Carrying the hook might slow him down or make him less stealthy, but he'll happily take a weapon over none at all. It's firm and heavy in his hands, the surface of the metal slightly irregular from the formation of rust. It's not the most ideal, but it's far better than nothing. Peter slips behind a shelving unit storing rows of large barrels, waiting out the possibility of being found because of the noise he's made, and takes one final look at the layout of what he can see of the main floor before he slinks along the edge in search of a generator. He's halfway through completing it when a muted scream echoes from below, then another just a few moments later. Two teammates attacked already, probably while working on a generator together. The start does not bode well for the rest of the trial, and Peter curses under his breath as his hands twist the wires, the hook laid out with an easy reach on the floor beside him. The generator springs to life, what feels like an eternity later, and Peter has barely just taken the hook into his grasp again when a yell echoes closer than before. still from somewhere below, but this time the noise ricochets as if it's only a few rooms over. When Peter tracks it, he finds himself in the room with the hanging pig head. Below it is an opening in the floor, which has no protective barrier around it, other than the open hinged grate flooring on either side, and Peter slinks forward to look down into the lower level. Years of training keep him from dropping the hook in shock, and even from cursing out loud despite how badly he wants to. He can't keep from sucking in a sharp breath through his teeth, however, and somehow that alone is enough. The pig, with one of Peter's teammates currently struggling from their place hoisted over his shoulder, suddenly looks up. It's impossible to tell through the mask, of course, but Peter is almost certain that their eyes meet. Again, the world briefly narrows to only them. Then Hoffman carelessly drops his heavily bleeding parcel to the floor. They spring up and start limping away immediately, and he makes no move to go after them. Instead, he points upward in a strange mirror to Peter's own action when they had stumbled upon each other during the first trial. "You!" His tone has a commanding bite that makes Peter bristle. "Don't fucking move!" He darts out of sight, ostensibly to make his way up to the nearest stairs. Peter obviously isn't going to do anything Mark fucking Hoffman tells him to do. Running in and hiding isn't an option for this, and Peter is just vindictive enough that he'd rather sneak up on Hoffman than wait for him, hook ready at the top of the stairs. He does take a moment to steel his nerves before preparing himself to go directly through to the lower level. He's seen teammates jump from roofs without so much as spraining an ankle, but that doesn't stop the knee-jerk thought that jumping down 10 feet onto concrete is going to make his ankle shatter while his fibula and tibia fractured enough to become acquainted with the outside air for the first time ever. Instead of dropping uncontrolled, he sits down on the edge with his legs dangling through the opening, hook beside him. He twists and lowers himself until only his forearms are braced on the concrete of the main level. He grabs onto the hook tightly. He drops. He lands. Nothing shatters. Nothing even creaks. He'll remember that for next time. For now, he follows in the direction that Hoffman had gone, hands gripping the hook in a similar way to a baseball bat. An overhead swing, he thinks, should have enough force behind it to bring Hoffman to his knees, for long enough that Peter can wrestle the mask off of him. It irks him to see Hoffman wearing it. Peter knows that he's behind it, and Hoffman knows that he knows. So why is he keeping up the pretense of secrecy? "I know who you are," his own voice echoes, furious and feral in his head. He feels more like a memory than an internal monologue, and it's enough for Peter's pursuit to come to a brief stop. He blinks slowly, reaching through the fuzzy memories of the minutes before he'd woken up by the campfire. Most of the specifics continue to elude him, following Hoffman into a building, maybe listening to a tape, maybe confronting Hoffman directly. He shakes himself out of the unsuccessful reminiscing. He could try to delve into the past again later, when he wasn't trying to hunt down the man who not only tried to kill Perez, but also tried to kill Perez. Peter will dedicate the first swing to her. For such a large, obtrusive man, he's faster and more difficult to track down than expected. For several minutes, Peter follows his progress more based on the sounds of his teammates than anything else, and that does make a somewhat guilty feeling settle like lead in his stomach. Hoffman isn't putting them onto hooks, though, like he's playing with them by giving false hope of escape to increase their suffering. Or, actually, that had a level of sophistication that Peter would literally hate to have to attribute to the man, so perhaps it was more along the lines of him cutting them down whenever they happened to get in his way. He hears the crackling pop of a firecracker and is close enough to see the flash of light emanate from around the corner. There was only one reason to use one of those, to stop a chase before it had the opportunity to end with a new bloody wound. He's close. Anticipation thrums inside him as he picks up speed, turning the corner and spotting Hoffman blinking away the blind spots only a couple of dozen feet away. His legs burn as he runs harder. He starts to raise the hook. 10 feet. Hoffman's vision must clear, or Peter's approach is just that obvious, because he begins to turn in Peter's direction. 4 feet. The hook is raised, and Peter starts to twist from his waist to add more momentum to the hit. Hoffman, too, caught off guard to fully dodge, moves to try and block the incoming strike. 1 foot. Their eyes meet for a fraction of a second. And then Peter swings so hard that the impact of his hit to Hoffman's side reverberates all the way up to his shoulders. Hoffman crashes against the wall with a grunt of pain that Peter viciously thinks is not enough. But rather than wind up for a second swing, he reaches with one hand to grab the black hair of the mask and yank, relishing in the swift act of removing it. There he is, the blue-eyed bastard. There's Hoffman hidden underneath, face pale and features pinched. Peter had known it, had known who he was. He throws the mask aside, awash with fresh adrenaline. "I know who you are," that echo returns. "Hello, Detective Lieutenant Hoffman," he greets, somewhat breathless from the flurry of activity. Peter headbutts him in the face, and even though the impact makes himself somewhat dizzy, it's satisfying to hear Hoffman curse. Peter's hands grip tighter around the hook, not yet in the process of winding up for another swing, as he takes a half step back to take in the sight of blood streaming from Hoffman's nose. Despite the agony that he must be in, Hoffman smiles, eyes flat, all teeth. Then, faster than Peter can anticipate, Hoffman surges towards him. The air rushes out of his lungs as something sharp pierces him low in the belly. His hands spasm, and the hooks falls from his briefly limp fingers before they curl into fists. He slams one against Hoffman's temple twice, but then the blade drives in deeper, and Peter cannot help but instinctively reach down to grab the other man's wrists as he closes in. Hoffman's breath is hot against his neck as he murmurs, "Hello, Special Agent Strom." He pulls back, and his smile has gained an almost boyish quality, at extreme odds with the way blood is dripping into his mouth and coating his teeth. "I wanted to give you something to remember me by." And then he rips his hands away from Peter's gut, blade sliding out like a hot knife through butter. Chapter 2. Hoffman takes him to the basement. Being hung on a basement hook doesn't guarantee death, but having only one path leading to and from the sacrificial platform certainly does make rescue that much harder. It doesn't help that he fully expects that Hoffman is going to stick around to watch him kick the bucket once he's hung Peter up, like the sadistic voyeur he must be. He isn't dead yet, in any case, and he struggles as best he can while one of his hands is preoccupied by putting pressure over a fresh, freely bleeding stab wound. Despite his efforts to get down, Hoffman carries him with a truly devastating amount of ease, which had better be because the entity cheats the system to give killers unfair advantages, and not because Hoffman is capable of a feat like this in his everyday life. The stairs level out. Peter casts a glance over his shoulder and catches sight of the four basement hooks in all their grim glory. He really hopes that his teammates have been fixing up some generators in the time that Hoffman's been distracted by him, because if no one makes it out alive in the match where Peter finally got to draw blood, he'll be pissed. "If I had my gun," he thinks, hitting and kicking and gritting his teeth against the sharp ache in his stomach. Whenever he moves too aggressively, his vision is briefly dotted with black. "If I had my gun, if I had my gun." Hoffman shifts. Peter's about to be put on a fucking basement hook, and he's not going to be able to bite back a scream when it happens. "If I had my gun, I'd give you a matching hole in your belly, motherfucker." Peter's distantly proud of the vitriol he's still able to muster, despite the way he's slowly bleeding out. Mark Hoffman is bad for his blood pressure in both extremes. He either raises it into stroke risk territory, or makes it drop to the point of needing IV fluids to remain conscious. Despite the pain, he continues to try and break free. Hoffman hums under his breath, as if the threat is more intriguing to him than anything else, the bastard. "Stop struggling like a rat in a trap, Strom." His large hand grips Peter's sides, and he lifts him off of his shoulder, but doesn't bring Peter's body down upon any of the sharp edges waiting to accept sacrifice. Instead, Peter finds himself pressed against a wall, and his current inability to stand completely straight means that he has the displeasure of having to look up at Hoffman's smirking face. "I won't sacrifice you to the entity. If your blood is going to be on anyone's hands, it'll be mine." His eyes burn like banked coals. and I think our reunion deserves better than some nameless thing carrying you off into the sky. Did John Kramer teach you to be this dramatic, or were you like this before you started being his muscle? Peter lashes out with his fists, trying to pull hair, trying to punch, trying to scratch. Hoffman has to work to subdue him, but he does so faster than Peter would like, and he ends up pinning both of Peter's wrists over his head. One-handed, too, the asshole. Peter grits his teeth, and this time it's more from sheer irritation than pain, but Hoffman's watchful eyes misinterpret the gesture. I wouldn't have to be so rough with you, Strom, if you did as you were told and stopped struggling. And give you the satisfaction of listening to you? Peter kicks at one of Hoffman's shins just to be a pain. If Hoffman didn't hang him specifically so that he could watch Peter bleed out instead of be sacrificed, then Peter's at least going to fade away, not going to fade away in quiet, sorrowful acceptance. Pretty sure I'd rather die. Hoffman's expression changes, almost regret there, and gone like the shifting of smoke, and his fingers dig into Peter tighter while his mouth pulls into another vicious, empty smile. Peter abruptly realizes that, however briefly, he'd just gotten under the man's skin simply by verbalizing how very little he wants to listen to him. There's something that he's missing. What had he forgotten as the thick fog rolled in to take them? What memories had gone fuzzy around the edges? I left a message for you with a quivering boy, Hoffman says through his teeth. Did you get it? Do you believe in fate? Yes, Peter admits, but only because he suspects that playing stupid will make things a lot worse for Dwight the next time he's in a match against the pig. I would have asked you that myself the first time around, if you hadn't let yourself be dragged away before I could get close enough. Try as he might to conceal it, his tone is laced with something not unlike jealousy. Peter spares a thought that he had gone after Dwight to give the message, not just because he happened to be the closest survivor available, but because he was being petty about Dwight getting in the way of Peter and Hoffman bloodily reuniting twice during that first match, and had decided that he needed the punishment of the reverse bear trap to pay for the perceived sin. This is just what he needs, really, to become the fixation of a serial killer. Peter did not join the FBI just to become the new Clarice goddamn Starling. Do you, Agent Strom? Hoffman looms closer. There's something intense in his eyes. Peter's interrogated hundreds of people. He knows how to read them, but he refuses to look too deeply into what he can pick apart in Hoffman's expression. Do you believe? Peter spits in his face. He braces himself for another stab in retaliation, which will probably be enough to send him back to the campfire, but instead, something far worse happens. The stairs creak under someone's weight. Idiot, Peter thinks. He's barely inhaled in preparation to shout a warning when Hoffman's gloved hand firmly presses over his mouth. Peter bites down hard. Even with the glove providing some protection, Hoffman audibly reacts to it. The steps that had been slowly advancing retreat much faster. Peter just hopes whoever it is stays away and works on a fucking gen for the love of anything holy. He unclaps his jaw, and Hoffman pulls back his hand, flexing his fingers methodically. The hand on Peter's wrist flexes too, going tight enough that his bones creak. Have you been making new friends, Strom? Maybe. Why? Perhaps the blood loss is making Peter delirious, because he follows it up with, jealous? Hoffman darts in, and here it comes, the final hit, a few more seconds of excruciating pain before Peter fails out of the trial. His lips land against Peter's mouth like a punch. Stunned, and later Peter will tell himself that it had more to do with the way the back of his head had knocked against the wall than anything else, Peter stands frozen for 2 seconds too long as Hoffman tries to bite and lick his way inside. Instinctively, he slams a knee upward. It doesn't hit its intended target, but Hoffman's grip weakens enough for him to pull out of it to try and push the heavier man back without much success, and his hands scrabble to wrap around the base of Hoffman's throat instead. The air heaves out of his lungs in a rush when one of Hoffman's hands slinks between them and pets at the wound as one might pet at their lover's hair. With one final desperate gathering of his remaining strength, Peter is able to shove the man backwards, but he likely won't have the energy to do it another time if Hoffman tries anything. "What the fuck was that about?" Peter snaps. Whatever weird power play Hoffman is trying to drag him into, Peter is not impressed. "You tried to kill me! You tried to kill Perez!" "You kiss like a dog," he doesn't say, since there are too many other things taking priority. He thinks it, though. Hoffman's self-satisfied smirk dissipates. "Tried," he echoes. "Tried to kill Perez? Shit. Have you been lying to me about the loss of your partner, Agent Strom?" "Oh, I'm so sorry," Peter grits out with as much sarcasm as he can muster. The black spots dotting the edges of his vision are happening even when he's not kicking and punching now. He presses his hands over the wound, but it's not enough to stop the flow of blood puddling between their shoes. "Have we reached the point in our relationship where we're supposed to be honest with each other? Do that again and I'll bite off your tongue. And yes, one of the many reasons why will be because you tried and failed to kill my partner." Hoffman looks ready to spit venom. "You fucking her? Oh my god." Peter was right about the jealousy. Mark Hoffman is some kind of murderous, territorial caveman. Was this the serial killer version of pulling pigtails? Other people can't fuck you. Other people can't kill you. Other people can't talk to you or look at you or acknowledge you exist. "I was about to ask if you knew what friendship was, but then I remembered that you had a hand in killing several of the people unlucky enough to be close to you." "But not you, Peter." Hoffman's eyes have gone intense again, and the use of Peter's given name is momentarily shocking. "We were given a second chance." "A second chance for what?" Peter's voice is starting to go a bit raspy. "Soon this will be over. For you to try and drown me in a new horrifying way? Not sure how that's how the entity wants this trial to play out." Hoffman's lips pinch together, like Peter is being deliberately obtuse. Fuck him. Peter's still pretty sharp for someone who's probably several minutes away from being on death's doorstep. "If I wanted to kill you in this trial, I could have done it already." Jesus Christ. This trial. Peter's going to have to deal with Hoffman over and over again. "And instead you just stabbed me in the stomach so that you could torture me with your scintillating company until I bleed out. How fucking thoughtful." His tone drips with derision as he drawls, "My hero." "You're not going to die from one measly stab wound." Hoffman runs a hand through his hair in frustration, huffing and growling like an oversized dog. "You know things are different here. I've stabbed some survivors in these games half a dozen times, or put them on a hip twice, and they still manage to make it out somehow. You're tougher than that." Is that supposed to be a compliment? Is Peter supposed to be flattered? "Those people had medkits or teammates nearby who could heal them. I have neither of those things, and you're keeping me cornered in the basement." Peter closes his eyes and wonders how the hell Hoffman had flown under the radar during the possible year or more that he'd been helping Jigsaw, seeing as he could be such a fucking idiot sometimes. Suffice to say, my situation is becoming more grim by the minute. "I told you already, you're not gonna die this time." Peter laughs without humor. He thinks he can taste blood at the back of his throat. Getting taken here so that Mark Hoffman could finally kill him must be punishment for something. What had he... Well, actually, more realistically, what had any of the other survivors done to deserve this? Or was it all just up to chance being chosen? "Wanna bet?" An open palm slams against the wall beside his head, and Peter's eyes snap back open. "I said... you're not dying this time." Hoffman is all wild eyes and snarling teeth, indignation warring with desperation, as if Peter should be asking him permission to take the world's most temporary dirt nap. "You need to start trusting what I tell you." He has the audacity to sound angry that Peter's first instinct with anything coming out of his mouth is to assume that it's a lie. "Didn't you learn anything from the tape I left you about the glass coffin trap?" The signal of the fifth generator being completed sounds out. Even if Hoffman weren't corralling him down here, Peter probably wouldn't be able to make it to either of the exits before he passed out from blood loss. He won't get out of this one alive, but he did at least get a few good hits in. The what? It is satisfying to see Hoffman freeze up for once, even if Peter isn't entirely sure why it's happening. The muted sound of an alarm marks a gate opening. It's over now. Peter is either going to bleed out, or will die from not making it through an exit on time, or maybe Hoffman will put him on the hook after all in order to make at least one sacrifice to the entity. His eyes drift shut. Hoffman curses, and then, out of nowhere, he's hoisted up onto a broad shoulder a second time. "Fucking knew it," he thinks. "I fucking knew it. I know who you are." He weakly struggles for a few seconds before he realizes that Hoffman has not brought him towards the hooks. Instead, the man is taking him up the stairs. "What are you doing?" "And here I thought FBI agents were supposed to be smarter than average." Hoffman's tone is clipped, lacking any malicious amusement. "What with all the condescension you've unsubtly thrown my way since the second we met. I obviously got sick of your bitching about bleeding out and dying. If I let it happen, I'll never hear the fucking end of it." "You're the one who stabbed me. You cracked one of my ribs by hitting me with a 15-pound solid metal hook." "True. But if he was going to try and turn this into a contest, you deserve way worse than that." To be drawn and quartered, maybe, but Peter would mercifully settle for seeing Hoffman behind bars one day. "Yeah," Hoffman murmurs. Something about his tone makes Peter glad that he can't see his face. Like a matching gunshot wound. His hand, pressed low on the curve of Peter's spine to brace him, suddenly feels like a brand. "Seeing as our reunion is a special occasion, I'll let you off the hook this time. Next time you won't be so lucky." "You never even put me on the hook this time," Peter says, lips twisting in distaste of the bad pun. His voice is softer than he'd like, further proof of his dire situation. For a few moments, only the sound of Hoffman's heavy footsteps ascending another set of stairs breaks the silence between them. Then, almost hesitantly, or maybe Peter doesn't have enough blood flow to his brain to read tone anymore, he asks, "You really don't remember the tape?" Peter's fingers twitch. Following Hoffman into the building, maybe listening to a tape, maybe confronting him directly. "A glass coffin," he'd said. "Should I?" Hoffman stubbornly refuses to answer, which Peter blearily decides to take as a yes. The world swoops, and Peter along with it when Hoffman sets him on his feet. Peter's knees immediately buckle, and the two broad hands stretching over his ribcage end up being the only things keeping him upright. He'd be mad about it if he were capable of strong emotion right now. Hoffman stands close, his expression shifting strangely. Peter can feel the puff of his breath against his cheek. Peter can feel himself dying. Hoffman's face settles into a determined look, and Peter doesn't even have the energy to sneer at him. "I ask you, Special Agent Strom, have you learned enough to trust me? Will you heed my warning?" He spoke with the intonation of a quote, words heavy with meaning. "For if you do not, this room will forever be your tomb." Peter had heard something like this before, hadn't he? But then, didn't all the jigsaw tapes sound about the same? His fingers twitch as if clicking play on a tape recorder. He can feel the ghost of one in his hand. Hoffman steps even closer. Peter's thoughts are fuzzy. He knows that he is dying, and it's because he's died in a trial before. His breath is hot against Peter's ear. "And my legacy will become yours." His mouth is hot against Peter's neck. "Make your choice." Hoffman shoves Peter backward, and he falls through the exit gate. The end.